He said, "Are you crazy?" See, we do most everything online now, and then it just comes to you. So she's very thankful for that. But heard about this lady that was shopping with her husband. He asked her not to buy any clothes. Well, she saw this dress in the window and decided to try it on. She liked it so much, she bought it in secret. A couple of days later, the husband discovered it and was so upset, and she explained to him that when she tried it on, it looked so good that Satan tempted her to buy it, and she couldn't resist it. He said, "Why didn't you do what the scripture says and just say, 'Get thee behind me, Satan'?" She said, "I did, and he told me it looked even better from the distance." There you go. I got jokes all day. Well, everybody eat their black-eyed peas and make resolutions? No, not really. Nobody? Come on, you got to eat the black-eyed peas. That's like, no? Nobody? What in the world? We got a few back there. Yeah, you got to eat them black-eyed peas and cornbread, right? I read, how many of you read devotions? How many of you made it to January 3rd, today, day 3, right? You got to stay committed now. We're talking about resolutions this morning. So, you know, you maybe, did anybody make the commitment you're going to read through the Bible this year? Several of you? I'm going to read through the Bible this year. Well, don't quit. It's day 3. If you're behind, get caught up, you know. But in Brother Hagin's Faith Food Devotional, he says this. He says, the best resolution that you can make today. Somebody say today.
Today.
See, we're talking about today. The best resolution you can make today is that in the coming year, your knowledge of God's Word will grow. That your understanding of God's Word will grow. Therefore, faith will come and your faith will grow. Right? Thank God for the Word of God. Did you know that most church-going people, somebody say, "That's not me." Now, you'll understand what I'm saying in just a moment. Most church-going people are pitifully ignorant of the Word. Now, again, say, "That's not me."
That's not me.
So you're here, you're a church-going person, but you're not pitifully ignorant of the Word. But you know, that's a reality. You know, as you go out into the community and talk to different people, you know, when it comes to the Word, it's unfortunate, but there's a lot of people that are just ignorant of what the Word says. And therefore, it's kind of the crux of what we're talking about this morning, but therefore, they are easily deceived. See, if you don't understand what the Word of God has to say for you personally, you are easily deceived and easily tricked. See, what is it that John 10:10 says? The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Right? Well, you've got to understand that. And in fact, in Revelation, you know, when you get to the end of the book, in Revelation 20, the Bible talks about him several places, but in Revelation 20, it says verse number 3, and it talking about laying hold of the devil, cast him into the bottomless pit, and it says he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations anymore. You know, when it talks about him being loosed after the 1,000-year time, in verse number 7 and 8, it says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out." Now watch this. "He shall go out to deceive the nations." So he's a deceiver. The Bible calls him the father of lies. Well, the Bible says when he's put into the bottomless pit, the Bible says that he might deceive no more. But in that period of time, he's not going to change his mind. He's not going to change his MO. He's not going to change who he is because he is a deceiver. So that whenever he's loosed, then the Bible says he goes out to deceive again. Right? Well, in verse number 10, it goes on to say, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire." This is just three different places right here at the end of the Bible where it talks about, by definition, that he's a deceiver. But I want you to know this morning. He can't just trick anybody. I said he can't just trick anybody. Right? What does the Bible say in John 8:32? "You shall know." Say, "That's me." "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, whenever you understand the truth of God's Word, then you're not easily duped. You ever heard somebody use that phrase? "He duped you, man. He tricked you." Well, if you understand what the Word of God has to say and how it applies to your life and to your situation, then you're not going to be one of those that's easily tricked, that's easily deceived. But see, you understand that comes as you get a working knowledge of the Word. Notice I said working knowledge. You have to have a working knowledge of what the Word says. Amen? Listen, the devil doesn't come as the devil. You ever thought about that? You know, the media, the movies would all have you think that the devil is red with a long tail like a dragon and horns and he's got a pitchfork, and that's not the devil. I said that's not the devil. See, if he's a deceiver, he wants you to buy into something that's tempting, something that's not reality. I was thinking about this, and you know, growing up, I liked it, and I think there's a few of them out today, but you know, I liked watching illusionists. You ever seen people do that? You know, maybe somebody that's good with cards or whatever. You know, somebody that, you know, an illusionist is somebody that performs tricks to deceive. What they're actually doing is causing you to see something that you don't really see. Or they're doing something so that you don't really catch on to what's going on. They take advantage of how you perceive and process the information that you have. So really what they're doing is they separate perception from reality. So in order to do that, you know, so they're called an illusionist. So they're causing you to buy into an illusion, something that's really not true, though it seems right to the eye. Well, that's really what the devil does, is he causes you to buy into a false reality. Fear, you know, a lot of people have said fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. That's what the devil wants to do, right? You know, for a number of years, when Sheila and I first got out of Bible school and we got to the church here, we were children's pastors. Thank God we made it through those 6 or 7 years. He delivered us. He showed us so much. But during those times, you know, we if you've ever done children's church, we don't do them as much anymore, but, you know, for a period of time, puppets were real popular. Anybody ever messed with puppets with kids, you know? And so we would be back there doing those puppets. You remember those puppets, Josh? Josh bought into them puppets. Let me tell you something. We'd get up there and we'd do those puppets, and you know, I wrote several scripts. Sheila got on to me. If you've ever worked with puppets, then you know that holding that puppet up above your head and doing it for any period of time gets tiresome, right? And so after a while, you get tired and your puppet starts to hang down and he starts to drag a little bit. Well, see, when you know, I was fresh out of Bible school, and so I, you know, I had all these ideas and I wanted my puppets to preach a sermon. And so I wrote these puppet skits out. And in these puppet skits, you know, I'd make them long. And Sheila's like, you got to cut that out. She said, you know how hard it is to hold that puppet up there and talk all those scriptures you got for them kids? They're not listening to all that anyways. Well, you know, what you're doing is you're talking through this puppet, but what's happening is that's not reality. That puppet's not alive. Well, you know, we had several kids in the class that would make everybody aware. That's not real. That's Miss Sheila back there. But thank God you always had those little ones that were like, that's not true. That puppet's alive. And they start talking back to it. And whenever it says something that wasn't true according to the Word, they'd point their finger and they'd talk back to it. Because it was real to them. That puppet was alive and it was talking. And did you see that puppet? Right? Well, that's what the devil wants you to think. Is that he's got some kind of, he's got a hold on you that he doesn't have. Amen. See, that's just not true. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Notice, seeking whom he may. Well, what determines who he may? Well, keep reading. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Whenever you resist him steadfast in the faith, then he may not devour you. See, he only devours those who fail to resist him, those who quit and give up. Right? He devours those who quit and give up. Say this with me. Say, I will grow and develop,
I will grow and develop
I'll develop spiritually
this year.
You say, well, I've grown and developed a little bit. Well, that's all right. Are you already there? Huh? Do you know everything there is to know? Well, you can grow some more, can't you? Boy, that's pride have you ever been in a message and thought, man, I've heard that message before? I've been knowing that for 20 years. Well, how's it working for you? You always ought to come to church, or every time you open the Bible, you know, in the mornings when I do my devotions, I open this Bible, and I don't care how many times I've read it through, how long I've been a pastor, preacher, how long I've been speaking the Word. It doesn't matter. I open it up and I say, Lord, show me something I've never seen before. That's the way you ought to approach church. That's the way you ought to approach the Word. That's the way you ought to approach prayer, is, Lord, help me see something I've never seen before. Don't get so complacent with yourself and prideful that you think I know it all, right? Grow and develop spiritually this year. Do you know that's what a resolution is all about? We make resolutions. We you know, some of you maybe made a list. This is what I determined to do. You know, Sheila and I make lists, not so much resolutions, but faith statements. Man, we make faith statements every single year of what we're believing God for. How much, first on the list is how much we're believing God to give to the body of Christ. That's first on the list. We set our faith to believe God. And in fact, you know, in January of 2020, when we made our list, we didn't know a pandemic was getting ready to happen. Did you? And the funny thing is when we set our faith to believe God to give to the local church, to give to the body, because we don't just give here, we give to other ministries that we support and stay connected with. When we made that decision to give X amount of dollars to the gospel, we didn't know a pandemic was coming. And so when we made that commitment, we moved ahead. We set our faith to believe God. Well, when I looked at our giving at the end of the year, December 31st, we had far exceeded our goal. Far exceeded, not just met the goal, we had far exceeded by thousands. Far exceeded our goal. Thank God for that. I said, thank God for that. We didn't take a step back this year. Let me tell you something. There might be some people, and like I said, there's a lot of people that are watching online for various, some people just, you know, don't feel comfortable getting out, and we understand that. You're still connected with us. We thank God for you being connected. But even though it might not look like we're as full as we used to be, we're not going backwards. I assure you. This body is going forward. Our commitments to support those that we're connected with is moving forward. People are staying engaged. People are being healed and set free and delivered. I assure you, Cleveland Christian Fellowship is moving forward. Strong. Right? Strong. Well, when you make a resolution, talk about making a resolution, that means, really the word resolute means to be determined. This is what I determined to do. So when you make a resolution, you're making a firm decision to do something or to not to do something. So to be resolute means that you're faced with a decision and a choice. See, today you have all kinds of choices in front of you. You made a good choice because you got up to come to church. That was a good choice. I applaud your choice. It's not fun preaching to an empty auditorium. Last week, you know, of course, you joined us online, but we made the decision to not meet together. We had several people that were quarantining, and so out of concern for you, we just decided to just do it online. And we had the Nutters with us. They didn't get the message, so they walked in, so they joined us, and then three or four other staff was here. And it's much better to preach to people, I assure you. I assure you. Amen. But so you're faced with choices, daily choices. I like what Joshua 24:15 said. He said, choose you this day, today. Choose you this day. Thank God that you have a choice today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Lamentations 3:23 says, his mercies are new every morning. Every single morning is an opportunity for you to set your faith to believe God. Every single morning. So don't live for yesterday's choices. Maybe you made a mistake yesterday. Well, just leave it yesterday. Just leave it in the past. Just choose to start over, right? You ever played them video games? You know, some of you are old enough to remember, because I don't know what these games are like today. I honestly haven't played one in years and years, but You know, my brother and I used to have those old Atari 2600s, Commodores, you know, those old ones that had the red reset button on the front. And so, you know, inevitably we'd be playing this video game and we'd be playing along there. And if one of us got ahead, you know, if we're playing a football game or something, then, you know, that red reset button would accidentally get pushed. Right? And so it just starts the whole thing over. Oops, hit the red button. Well, maybe you just need to hit the red button this morning. Maybe you just need a reset. Maybe things didn't go as well for you, like we're talking about. Well, that's all right. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So you can start over this morning. You can hit the reset button, right? You know, it always seems appropriate in the new year, and just because of the way things work with Pastor Mark and Miss Margaret traveling to see their family after the holidays, it seems like most every year I'm able to do this New Year's message. And so it's always a good time of year for me and a fun time to bring in the new year, to encourage you to stay the course, to not quit, to not go back. But it's interesting, it always seems appropriate in the new year to ask yourself the question, what would happen if I could just start over? Because, you know, there's people, like I said, this year hasn't been a down year for us. It's been a year of increase and a lot of good opportunities. And so we're excited about what took place this year, looking forward to the next year, to this coming year. But, you know, again, as you talk to some people, man, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. And there's a lot of people out there, some friends of ours and business owners, and it was a struggle. And so what would that look like? See, if maybe you're one of those, you say, well, I would like to hit the reset button and I'd like to start over. What would I do differently? See, if you're going to start over now, you got to have a plan of what am I going to do different. You can't just hit the reset button and do things the way you used to be doing it. Right? You know, when we would hit that reset button on that video game playing each other, you had to have an immediately different plan. Because the plan that you had in place wasn't working. Right? And so the reason you hit the reset button was you were like, okay, I'm going to start over and I'm going to have a different plan. We're going to do things a little bit different. Well, we've all made those decisions that we regret. We've all made those choices that we wish we could go back and change. But you know, throughout the Word of God that we find opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to just start over. Right? 1 John 1:9, written to believers, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's hitting the reset button. That's starting over. So if you're making resolutions, what would you make different? What choices would you do different? What decisions would you make different? Sometimes things just don't turn out how you planned. But you know something? You do have a say-so about your response. I said you do have a say-so about your response. Look over at 2 Kings 7. This, of course, is a familiar passage of Scripture, something we read from often. But in 2 Kings 7, of course, this was a time of famine. But in verse number 3, just real quick, we're not going to read the whole thing. 2 Kings 7, verse 3. It says, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, again, this is a great famine taking place. If you go back and read the chapter before, it talks about these certain group of people that they were actually boiling and eating their kids. Okay, this is a dire, grave situation. And so right here in verse number 3, it says, the four lepers at the entering of the gate, they said one to another, why sit here until we die? For if we say we enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, we shall die there. But if we sit there, here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall into the hosts of the Syrians, for if they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. Turn this monitor down just a touch, if you don't mind. So they were faced with a choice, right? They said, we can either die where we are, or we can die in the city. We're going to die either way. But they said, let's just get up and do something. And so the Bible says in verse 5, they arose in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. In other words, all the people had left in a panic. And so it says in verse 6, "For the Lord had made a host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and they fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys and even the camp as it was, and they fled for their life." Well, if you keep reading there, it says they went to one tent and did eat and drink, carried the silver, the gold, the clothing. They went and hid it. They came again, entered into another tent, took it away. Verse 9 says that as they said one to another, "We do not well, for this day is a day of good tidings. We will, if we hold our peace, we tarry into the morning, then mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household." In other words, what they did is they made the decision, you know what, we can't keep this to ourselves. Well, what's the whole point of this story? Well, several things. Number one, sometimes in the middle of your situation, you got to determine, I'm getting up. I'm not just going to lay here and die. I'm not just going to take whatever it is that's coming against me. I'm going to get up. But then the other thing you notice real quick, doesn't take much to realize this, is that your situation can turn around in 24 hours. It can turn around quicker than that. You know, I was talking to somebody recently, somebody we're very close with, and they were discussing with us in their particular situation that they had gone through a financial struggle, and you know, things were good at the beginning of the year, but then in recent days, things had gone down and gone down, you know, we encouraged them with the word. You know, if you call me or call Sheila, one thing we're going to do is we're going to preach the word at you, because it's not my opinions that's going to do anything for you, it's the word. And so we gave them the word and talked them through and said, don't quit. Just keep going, keep going. Trust in the Lord. Here's some scriptures. Get a scripture for yourself, something you can hang on to. Well, in the next day, maybe day or two, in the next days, they called with tears in their eyes and saying, you don't understand, everything turned around overnight. Everything. And they began to tell us all the things that had been happening and just one thing after another and this and this and this took place and this. And they said, I'm so glad that I didn't quit. So glad. You know, when you hear testimonies like that and you hear people make comments like that, aren't you so glad that they didn't quit? So glad they didn't quit. So glad that they didn't make that decision. You know what? I'm just going to go get a job at Walmart. I'm just going to go get a minimum wage job and just make do. No, don't do that. Now, if you work at Walmart, I'm not knocking that job. I'm just saying, you know, to don't quit and just say, well, I'm just going to go do this, or I'm just going to go do what's easy. Don't do that. Don't do that. Right? You know, he's always got something better planned up ahead. Sometimes we can't see down the road. Sometimes we can only see what's in front of us. But you ever been driving down the road? Maybe some of you traveled over the holidays. You know, as you go down the road, you see these billboards. And maybe, you know, I'm somebody, I like a particular chicken restaurant. And so when I see those signs on the billboards on the side of the road, man, I get excited, especially if we're traveling. I'm like, hey, there's that's coming up. Bump Sheila. Hey, it's coming up. You know, it says there's one at this exit and this exit and this exit. So if we miss the first one, we've got a couple more opportunities. We're not missing that exit. Right? You know, we travel to Texas a lot. There's a particular restaurant we like to go to, and so you know when you're getting close because you start seeing those billboards. Well, you know what that billboard is doing is it's telling you something good is up ahead. You know, they put the appealing burger, the appealing chicken sandwich, or whatever the meal is that you're looking forward to. They put it on the billboard so it looks really good to tempt you to pull in on that exit. They even tell you how many miles you got to go, right? You know, so that you could plan. Well, when Sheila and I were at Oral Roberts University, we were privileged to sit under Oral Roberts, you know, before he, during the time that he was actually at Oral Roberts University as chancellor. And so he would do some of the chapels. And I'll never forget, you know, something that he always did was he would get up and one of the first things that would come out of his mouth is he would say, something good is going to happen to you today. The today part is what I always remember. Because it's one thing to say something good is going to happen to you. We declare that, man. I always say, my best days are ahead of me. Because I believe that. Best days are yet to come. But I like that so much. He would say, something good is going to happen to you, but then he would pause for a minute and he would say, today. Well, there's just something about that today. Something about that today. Well, if you know anything about me and in our ministry, and you know that at some point in any given message, the thing you're going to hear from me is I'll encourage you not to quit. I'll encourage you to live on the victory side of life. It just seems like that's what the Lord has challenged us to do. You know, that's all a choice you make. You can choose today to never live another defeated day in your life. It's a choice you make. You made a choice to come here, didn't you? Why? You were determined, I'm moving forward. I'm going to go get something out of this message. I'm going to get something out of the Word. It's going to change my situation. It's going to encourage my faith. Right? It doesn't Philippians 4:6 say, be careful for nothing? Well, that's carefree living, isn't it? It's the way you ought to live your life. Stop worrying about even one thing. So how do we take care? By talking about, by worrying about, by consuming or stressing about something to the point that it seems like there's no way out. You know, a minor situation, you can talk a minor situation into a huge ordeal just through your words. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all of your care, the whole of your care on Him, for He cares for you. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord and He'll sustain you. He shall never suffer or permit the righteous to be shaken. That's what His Word says. Paul, encouraging the believers at Philippi in Philippians 1:6, says, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it. Those are encouraging words, aren't they? In the Passion Translation, it says, the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put the finishing touches on it. Well, here Paul is writing a letter. Understand something. You know, Philippians, if you study the book of Philippians, a lot of people call Philippians the happiest book of the Bible. You know, as you read through Philippians, it encourages you, man. There's just something about the book of Philippians. It encourages you. It talks about joy and different things. And so a lot of theologians call it the happiest book in the Bible. Did you know where that book was written? It's written from prison. Yeah. Paul writes this letter from prison. So here it is, the happiest letter that we have in the Bible. And Paul is writing it to the Philippians from prison. Well, that ought to speak volumes to you. Because what Paul is saying here is your circumstances should never determine your joy. Right? See, the Word of God is full of encouraging words. We talked about those billboards going down the road and billboard after billboard, you know. And you see these billboards and you start getting excited and whatever it is. You know, maybe you're a shopper and you see a Tanger outlet coming up in 10 miles, you know, and so your blood gets to pumping and you get excited about it. You start digging for your wallet, you know, you're excited. Do you ever notice these billboards that they never say, hey, dummy, you missed it. You missed out. You missed that restaurant. You missed that, you know. That's not what the billboards do. They keep moving you forward. They keep encouraging you on the road ahead. They keep telling you, hey, you haven't missed it. There's another opportunity. There's another opportunity. Listen, if you will take the time to get into the Word, if your resolution will be that I'm going to choose to learn more from the Word than I ever have before this year, if that's your number one resolution, then you'll find that when you open up that Bible every single day, there's going to be something in there to encourage you. There's going to be something in there to help you through the day. Right? Find a promise. Find a scripture. Find something that you can get a hold of. I always determine every single year to find a scripture that's going to be my scripture for the year, that's my go-to, that I quote every day, that I lean on, that I trust God for. Lord, what scripture am I standing on this year? Find a scripture, especially as it applies. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're going through a health issue or a financial crisis. Whatever it is, find a scripture that applies and let it encourage you day to day. Right? Amen. I remember Sheila telling the story. I had her tell me again last night just so I didn't get this wrong, but you know, there was one time that she was leaving her mom and daddy, and they were in the car with Papa Jack, grandmother, and they were going back to Florida, you know, where they are this week. And they didn't want to go. They were crying, you know, like any little kid. You know, sometimes they get to a point where they don't want to leave mom and daddy. And so Papa Jack looked at them, and he made the comment. He said, hey, he said, we'll stop at every single McDonald's on the way home to Florida. Well, this is Jacksonville, Florida, you know. And so Sheila said, you know, I think we only missed one. Well, you know, this, you know, they didn't have near as many back then as they do now, but that was, she said, that was a lot of McDonald's. And she said, Papa Jack, you know, if he was going down the road, they would see these billboards, and they would say, hey, Papa Jack, there's a McDonald's coming up. And so they'd stop, and they'd have something at the McDonald's. They'd get on the road. They'd go down a little bit more. Hey, Papa Jack, there's a McDonald's coming up. And she said, literally, I think that he only missed one. And that was just because we weren't paying attention. He was probably driving as quick as he can, hoping nobody woke up, you know. Right? Listen, what's required of you this year, what's required of you this year is a proper response. What's your response going to be? I found myself so many times just in the last 9 months, especially going through the 91st Psalm. But you know, in particular, in the 91st Psalm, there's a set of scriptures that I went back to all the time. But in verse number 14, Psalm 91, 14, it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him up on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You have a right, according to the word of God, to a long, happy, satisfying, fruitful, victorious life. Why? Because it's a promise in the word. Did you know the only way that you're going to make it to a long life is to make it through this year? I see the light going on. Whenever you understand that, with long life I will satisfy you, that means you got to make it through the day. That means you got to make it through the year. That means this healing thing that you've been after, that means you're going to receive your healing. That means victory's on the doorstep. Don't quit. Healing's here. Victory's here. Why? Because he promised you long life. And if he promised you long life, that means you got to get there. If you'll get a hold of that one scripture right there, man, it'll take care of everything else. I'm telling you. Right? With long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God. But see, again, it's a choice. You're there in the 91st Psalm. Turn back to Psalm 78. Talking about the children of Israel, of course, you understand, in Psalm 78, verse number 40. Choices, talking about choices. It says, how often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited. Somebody say limited. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Well, if you go over to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9, you find out that it talks about they limited him through these 40 years. And then in Numbers 14, if you go back and study this out, in Numbers 14, 22, it says, because all those men which have seen my glory have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, they shall not see the land which I share unto them, unto their fathers, or which I swore unto their fathers. Verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit within him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land of promise whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess. See, there was something different about Caleb. Caleb had a determined spirit about him, that I'm not turning back. I'm trusting God, and what his word says, I will possess. Regardless of what everybody else around him did, he determined, as for me and my house, as for me, this is what I'm doing. I'm trusting God, and I'm making it through. That's what Caleb determined. Listen, I love so much. Jerry Savelle said, every blessing that God has provided for us in Jesus is contingent on our decision to receive it. This whole thing is about, will you believe it or not? Will you trust what's in it or not? Will you choose to believe what's written in these pages instead of what's going on all around you? Instead of what your symptoms are, instead of what's going on in mom and daddy's house, instead, whatever it is, are you going to believe this or are you going to believe all of this? This is the truth. And when you know the truth is what makes you free. I said the truth is what makes you free. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine. In other words, get up. Get up. For the light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you and his glory shall be seen upon you. That's his promise. Arise, get up. Why? Because his glory is risen upon you. So how are you responding today? How are you responding to the challenges of the day, to the adversity that's all around you? You know what the word adversity means? It means crisis. It's a crisis that causes distress. So how are you responding to the challenges? Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength was small. The Message Bible, you got your big boy pants on, big girl pants on? This is God's word now. And the Message Bible says, if you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much in you in the first place. Ouch. Right? Man, that's tough. It's a sobering message. But understand, our ability to withstand in the day of adversity, according to this scripture, is in direct proportion to your strength. You know, this is football season, you know, closing out the football season, and so a lot of the better teams are playing in bowl games and what have you. Maybe your team made it. Maybe they didn't. I'm sorry. Mine did. We won, so I was happy. Pastor Mark's did, but they made it. They won, so he's happy. But you know, most elite schools, most schools that have progressed and are doing really well, you know, they have enough understanding to know that their team has to be strengthened and conditioned for the road ahead. And so they actually have full-time strength and conditioning coaches and programs. All of the big elite programs, I mean, they have a strength and conditioning coach. And the only thing that his responsibility is to develop and strength and conditioning. That's his job. Well, I can understand that because I coached girls volleyball for over 20 years here. You know, that when you begin to understand that if your team is not ready for the road ahead, then they're going to quit as soon as they're challenged. And so one thing that I've always done, the first couple games of our year, one thing I've always done is I put our toughest opponents right at the beginning. I said, well, why would you do that? Well, some people do different. Some people play cupcakes for the first couple weeks. That's fine. Do what you want to do. But what I would do is I would put some of the toughest games up front because then you find out what you're made of. Then you find out, you know what, this is areas we got to work on. We're not as developed in this area as we thought we were. So you take different approaches to challenges and crisis and pressure. You know, the reality is you got to make sure that you're strengthened and you're conditioned for the road ahead because sometimes the road's not easy. That's just reality. Sometimes the road's not easy. Sometimes you're going to be faced with a crisis and a challenge. But let me tell you something. Nehemiah 8:10 applies to us today. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Little joy equals little strength. Proverbs 12:25 says, heaviness or anxiety in the heart of man makes it stoop. In other words, it causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Thank God for that. In the Passion Translation, it says, life-giving words can do wonders to restore joy to the heart. Oh, glory to God. Thank God for the Word of God. Living words, life-giving words can do wonders to restore joy to the heart. Joy is a Hebrew word that just simply means to brighten up. Brighten up. You ever told somebody, man, brighten up. Look at your neighbor and say, brighten up. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Right? Amen. Praise God. Brighten up. Acts 3:19 says, times of refreshing or recovering from the effects of the heat. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Everybody stand to your feet. That's good for now. Praise God. But you know, that's why it's so important. We, you know, first of the year, we oftentimes talk about, you know, get your hands on a good devotion, faith-filled devotional. I read out of several. You know, you can actually go online and go online to the Hagin's website, to Jerry Savelle's website, Mark Hankin's website. All of those guys have devotions, daily devotionals that you can go and I read, try to read as much of those as I can. You know, you can't read everybody's. But the ones that I trust and the ones that I want to read after, I go to every single morning. Now, that's in addition to my Bible time and prayer time. But you know, if the joy of the Lord is your strength, and we know that strength is the key to overcoming adversity, then you ought to be sure that you're building up your joy. Amen. That you're starting every single morning with an encouraging word that's going to keep you going through the day. Now, maybe your time, don't get caught up on the small things. Maybe your time is in the evening. That's fine. Nothing wrong with going to bed with a good word. Sometimes that's more important than going to bed with the news. I know growing up, my dad, you know, one thing that he would do was he would make it a point before he went to bed, he'd watch the news, you know. Nothing wrong with that, but why don't you go to bed with a good word? Remember that scripture we talked about? Why don't you find it in different translations? Why don't you make that the thing that you go to bed with? But the what I'm getting at is make your resolution this year that in spite of the challenges around me, that I'm going to learn something out of the Word I've never seen before. That I'm going to get into the Word like never before. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to progress. I'm going to make sure that, you know, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, for you'll find rest for your soul." What's he saying? You can have joy in every situation. It's a choice you make, right? In James, in the Message Bible, James 1:2, it says, "Under pressure." Anybody ever been under pressure? Under pressure, your faith life is forced out into the open and it shows its true colors. Truly shows what you're made of. Truly reveals what's inside. So that's my question to you this morning is what's inside? What's inside you? Are you determined to make it through this year? We just started. Don't quit already. Amen. Don't quit already. Maybe you're one of those that this morning you'd like to hit the reset button of life. You can do it right where you stand. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. See, I need to hit the reset button in my life. No, don't like the choices that I've made. I don't like where it's brought me to in the middle of what seems to be a crisis. But you know, you can create a new path to victory this morning. The only thing that it requires is for you to just simply say, "Lord, help me to start over." Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." And if you pray that prayer this morning for the very first time, then you effectively hit the reset button. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So what you're truly praying is, "Lord, take my life. Help me to do something with it." This morning, anybody that's in the sound of my voice, this morning you say, "That's what I need to do." Just simply pray this easy prayer with me. "Lord Jesus, take my life. I give it to you. Help me do something with it. Victory lies in front of me. And I am victorious in you." In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Come into my heart, take my life, and do something with it. Glory to God. Oh, thank God he's faithful. Thank God that he's faithful. Faithful to forgive. Faithful to cleanse. I assure you of this, his blood already paid the price so that you don't have to. Thank God for the blood that forgives, that cleanses, that allows us to have a new start in him. this morning, the first part of the year, we can declare this morning, I'm free and I have a new beginning in Christ Jesus because He has made me righteous. Aren't you so glad for that? Glory to God. His word is life-giving, life-changing to all who choose to believe it and act on it and live it out. He is faithful who promised, and I know that He'll be faithful to you. Do you believe that this morning? Somebody declare, He is good, and He is faithful to me. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. So glad you tuned in this morning. Those of you who are tuning in online, you're very much a part of the service with us. So glad you tuned in to be a part with us. Don't miss Wednesday service. We'll be right back here with you. God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed. Amen. God bless you.